Blog Talk Radio.
Damn it, it's water.
Yeah.
We're not going to back down from this fight. Now, I'm going to say something. You can take it or let it alone. Either I am a man from God and his messenger, or I'm perpetrating a fraud. But I'll be damned. I know perpetrating no fraud, and I will call down the wrath of God on this goddamn country. Known what it's like to teach my heart out and have some of the people that I was teaching believe that I had taken their money and had some secret house somewhere. I lived under the envy and the jealousy of many who thought that the messenger favored me. But I worked through my pain, because the cause for which I was raised is bigger than any Negro who could give me pain. bigger than any hypocrite or envious believer that did not like me. I don't give a damn who don't like me. If Allah loves me, what do I care? When Jefferson said toward a more perfect union, he was admitting that the union was not perfect, that it was not finished, that work had to be done. And so we are gathered here today not to bash somebody else. We're not gathered here to say all of the evils of this nation, but we are gathered here to collect ourselves for a responsibility that God is placing on our shoulders to move this nation towards a more perfect union. So today, whether you like it or not, God brought the idea through me. And he didn't bring it through me because my heart was dark with hatred and anti-Semitism. He didn't bring it through me because my heart was dark and I'm filled with hatred for white people and for the human family of the planet. If my heart were that dark, how is the message so bright, the message so clear, the response so magnificent? We are forced by the magnitude of what we see here today, that whenever you return to your city and you see a black man, a black woman, know that he is your brother. And if he needs help, you are obligated to help your brother because he is your brother. You must live beyond the narrow restrictions of the divisions that have been imposed upon us. You shouldn't come, you're a Christian, that's a Muslim thing. You shouldn't come, you're too intelligent to follow hate. You shouldn't come, look at what they did. They excluded women, you see? They played all the cards. They pulled all the strings. There's a new black man in America today. A new black woman in America today.
They'll tell you that you can't make it. That you began life's test with an S pasted to the top of your exam in bright red ink. They'll show you links through studies and statistics, lifetime sentences, force-feeding you with both facts and fiction, aimed at predicting the outcome to your destiny as if they can see into your future and as if God created you to fail.
Man up. They are shooting at us.
Calling all my brothers, can I get a quick huddle? Time out for a second, need to address some trouble. See so many of us on the stumble. No goals, no direction, so affected by the slow, subtle devaluation of our roles. Nobody to teach us, took the poppers out the home. Left to learn alone what it means to be a man. So it's easy for the media to carry out their bigger plan. Government assistance, school stats. Only if she poo, she single or she lose dad. And the job stats show she gets the job fast. So he gets supported while she carry all the heavy bags. His rail backwards, so our self-esteem sags. And she never will respect the man who confidence lacks. And I don't mean that he good only for talking smack. But daddy handle business and his word is what he has. Ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us. But how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? switching, dude. Loosen up them skinny jeans. Call me bigger brother, trust me, I ain't trying to lean. It's just the troubling trend I'm seeing. Every day it's more okay to emulate femininity. And now it's in the DNA or genes. No, this is learned behavior made okay by those who need to see. A family structure be, if man was made to lead, the more we stray from our nature, we will not succeed. Sons and daughters now lack balance. Compensate with male attention, how she now manage. But see, he was never told how to make her feel special, so he treat her like a hoe. And since she was never shown how a real man should protect her heart to keep her legs closed. See, what she had hoped was being open lands a man's heart, but a broken boy is not equipped to play a man's part.
Man was a father, papa, son, it's time to stand up. See, we've been ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us, but how long before we go on the offensive instead of react? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back.
The best kept secret is, no matter what your situation, you are more than a conqueror, and this is only a test. See, you can be anything that your heart desires, moving forward toward the unwritten chapters of your lives. You can make liars with their pants on fire, eat their words, curve past the obstacles in your path, and crash directly into success. Head on collisions into happiness. Learning from the mistakes of fathers who are far from the best example, you could trample their crowd of negativity. See, they want your passion to go up in smoke like a chimney, but your will to succeed can still burn relevant. Cooler than peppermint, your anger can cease. Avoiding the bellies of the beast, you can reach for the stars as far as your eyes can see. You don't need to be anybody's statistic, so don't miss your chance. You can dance to your own tune. Cats get it twisted like pretzels, thinking they have to accept those passed down generational patterns. The scattered cowards that shower their family tree. You don't have to be that automatically. So don't tell me that you have no role models in your life. Then you had no choice. You always have a voice in the matter. You could be anything under the sun. Even the worst father could stand as an example of what not to become.
Man up.
Across the desert in my bare feet, with no food or water, with nowhere to sleep. Been ridiculed and abused, wrongfully accused. What more can they do to me? What more can they do to me? I've been locked up with no reason, with no reason why. After looking straight into my enemy's eyes, been stripped from my head to my toe. Nobody seems to know. What more can they do to me? What more can they do to me? across the desert in my bare feet. With no food or water, with nowhere to sleep.
There's decadence like we have never known, that has never been seen before in the annals of history, going on in America every minute of every hour of every day. A people brought out of Africa in the holds of ships. Never been done like that before. A people sold by their own brothers into slavery like Joseph. A people robbed and spoiled. As it is written in the book of Daniel, a people that had their names taken. They used to wear the names of God, but now their oppressive slave master gave them new names: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They used to speak their own language. And they used to eat food according to the divine dictates of God. But now in a strange land, among a strange people, they're eating the king's meat. And he changed their tongue from their natural tongue, that they may learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. They're like gold and silver vessels brought out of the temple of Jerusalem, but spoiled with wine and strong drink. This is the condition of black people in America. Religion has lost its power to transform human life. The houses of worship are houses of entertainment, but not houses of enlightenment that transform human life. Whether it is Islam, Judaism, or Christianity, we have lost the power of Jesus Christ. We've lost the power of Moses and Muhammad and Abraham. How do you mean we have lost that power? Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall also do. He opened the eyes of the blind. Why are the people still blind if we're walking with the Master? He made the dumb speak. Why can't the people speak if we are walking with the Master? He healed the leper and the lame and the halt. But our people are like lame and halt people that have hands that don't build for ourselves. How can you put them on the wall to build when they don't know how to build? Somebody got to teach the hands to build again. You are like the Master, nailed to the cross. Your hands are nailed because they don't work to defend you. They don't work to build you. They don't work to deliver you. Your feet are nailed, so you can't walk the walk of free men. In a modern time like this, you walk like a slave. Pharaoh has already let you go.
Come on.
But it is you who have not let Pharaoh go. This is why you are crippled. Because you think you cannot walk without your former slave master. And if your former slave master don't help you, you don't think there's any help for you, even though you talk God. You live in fear of your former slave masters and their children. Politicians selling us out. Paying lip service to the suffering of the people, but hobnobbing with those who want to rob substance from the people. That's why Jesus said, it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to see the kingdom of heaven. When we say our prayer, when the disciples said to the master, "Master, teach us how to pray," he said, "Pray on this wise, our Father." Stop. Look at what that Father did for Jesus. You tied to him, and look at your condition. Your father was Rockefeller. Why are there holes in your shoes? You look to me like you've been disinherited. You look to me like a prodigal son who took his substance from his father and went off in a strange land among strange people trying to join himself on to be a citizen of a strange land. Your problem is you are not now nor have you ever been a citizen of the United States of America. You are a slave to white America.
Go ahead. That's the truth. That's the truth of it.
I know this hurts.
That's the truth of it. This is the truth hurts.
It bothers me.
Go ahead.
To hear you crying. How you an American, but they treat you like a slave. It bothers me that you are willing to fight and die for something that is not willing to sacrifice nothing for you. It bothers me to hear you say, "My country, tears of thee, sweet land of tyranny, of thee I sing, land of white father's pride, but land where my fathers died. Who will help the widow's son? 'Cause sometimes we feel like a motherless child, a long, long way from home. How can I
sing the Lord's song in a strange land. They that carried us away captive require of us a song. Nobody can sing the songs of Zion like us. Sing, sing, sing for us, Negroes. Make us laugh, Negroes. So I'll pay Cedric the entertainer. I'll pay the comedians big money to make me laugh while the masses of the people cry. You're in bad shape. Very bad shape. The richest slave that ever was. You got more money, but you're poorer than you've ever been in spirit.
All right. To say what most of you black males are thinking, but you're afraid to say it. You need to fire this guy immediately. That was my dorm. It is my dorm. She don't have to belong to me biologically. That officer being fired would be the least of his worries. She didn't have a father like me, who would have been out there that day to deal with that situation in the most savage. You do not touch nobody's child, whether they're white or black, in that manner. I wouldn't put my hands on a white child and throw her across the room, slam her on the floor. Her father will have every right to come and take my life if you choose to do so. And as a father, you put your hands on mine like that. You won't have to worry about him being fired. Because I will put some fire to his behind. To you guys, you are responsible for these people. Sheriff Locke, you are responsible for these people. I have no fear, none whatsoever of you, of the sheriff or any other officer. Because that officer is a particular overseer. Now, I'm not a violent, crazy man. I don't have a record. But I will not tolerate this kind of insanity coming from no man touching a child in that manner. So South Carolina, you're doing yourselves well across the world. You kill 9 people in Charleston. You shoot the young brother on Broad River Road for going to get his license and registration. And now you're beating up young girls in school. And you are thinking about firing him? He should have been gone that day. Why is he still working? So you want more men like me who are feeling like me to get this rage up in them to deal with this ourselves? Is that what you're forcing us to do?
It's kind of, well, threats are not
a problem. I'm not threatening. I'm not a threat. I'm asking you a question. I'm asking, do you want more men who have this kind of feeling to be built up in them like this for treating our children like that? If you want that, you're going to get that. It's up to you to stop that. You can stop. So it's up to you. I'm asking you that question. It's up to you and you and you and you to stop it, not me. Because this is a reaction to an equal and opposite action. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Sanger.
Why is it necessary for him to keep attacking the Jewish community? What benefit has it had for him and the NOI or black folks? What will this do for the liberation of our people? I mean, really, get over it. That's the question.
And so, right after the plot to derail the Million Man March by using Sister Betty Shabazz failed, the Jews went against the child. This time it was Kabila Shabazz, just shortly thereafter. She was arrested and charged with plotting to assassinate the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, based on a young Jewish male who was an informant. And once again, as all of the sisters here have testified to, the immeasurable and even stunning level of love that this human being has in his heart for us once again defeated the plan of Satan. I say to this sad individual, because oftentimes we hide, as Minister Farrakhan has taught us, we use virtue to cover a vice. Many Negroes who suffer from fear of the slave master's children and don't want to stand up in the fullness of time, the very so-called Christians who know that in Genesis, God promised Abraham of this day. Now that this day is here, they are afraid, they are spineless. They don't want to confront the truth of the presence of the enemy, and so they use the virtue of love and patience to hide the vice of cowardice. And so they accuse a man, just as Jesus battled the Jews throughout the Bible. Now, any so-called Christian knows that not once or twice, but pervasive throughout the ministry of Jesus were the Jews. The godless Jews who hated him because he brought the message of the oneness of God and the promise of the kingdom. The Jews have attacked Minister Farrakhan relentlessly. For 30 years, we were quietly building a nation. Right over there in the final call, quietly trying to uplift the downtrodden.
That's right.
I have never seen a Jew in the black community inviting any black person to Judaism.
No.
Inviting any black person to know the Torah. The only time the Jews have ever been present among us is to open their outposts, their retail stores, to sell us damaged cheap goods marked up against the price. They were down there in the cotton fields in the Mississippi Delta teaching the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who were too stupid to keep us in check after the end of the Civil War. It was the Jews that had taught the white man all the way up to the NBA right now. A modern-day microcosm of a plantation. Minister Farrakhan, contrary to this idea, he attacks them. He is Allah's weapon against them. As a life-giving son, he is exposing them. He is making them known, because through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that only he is bringing,
that's right,
we will be freed of this blood-sucking parasite, so they will no longer be able to sell us alcohol, drugs, depraved sex, and every other type of low-life thing that is keeping us from a hereafter.
That's right.
Woo. Aubrey. Yeah.
They need to get over here.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the civil rights movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s black power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. O. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Someone else, determine your reality for you, and then you accept the definition as your own. So, you know, in determining someone else's reality, I would say that gives you, you know, some economic power, some political power, social power, you know, in terms of determining how they're going to act, their buying habits, and things of this nature, which, you know, if we being frank and honest with each other, it fuels and funds white supremacy, you know. So that's why I feel like this topic is so important, and it's something that I typically cover with my students right off the bat, you know. Since I'm just going, you know, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Let me pull up a portion of it. Like I said, I'm not going to go through the whole presentation. But I talk about propaganda in the presentation. And, you know, I try my best to get my students to understand where I'm coming from. So let me go to the slideshow. From the current slide. Okay. So perception, right? If we're talking about perception, definition, again, I like to clearly define things. Perception is immediate or intuitive recognition. So if we're talking about something that's intuitive, right, as soon as you look at it, you determine, is it good or bad? Is it pretty or is it ugly? You know, it's your appreciation of it, right? And it's of a moral or psychological or aesthetic quality. It's your insight, your intuition, your discernment, you know. So that's what perception would be. And I put this mind map together just to kind of give, you know, people an idea of perceptions, and for the people that are listening on radio and maybe are not privy to the presentation, just to run through it, if I'm going, you know, from 6 o'clock around, you know, your knowledge, your impression, your conception, collective mind. When I'm talking about collective mind, I'm talking about, you know, if the mob, if everybody else doing it, so you just, you know, deem it socially acceptable. So that would be a clearer definition of collective mind. And then our prejudice, our observations, our understanding, our emotions, attitude, your individual mind, your opinion, your desires, your biases, your overall consciousness. This is where our perceptions, you know, and the list is exhaustive. Maybe not this list, but where your perceptions would come from, right? But there is a difference. I would say there is a difference between perception and reality, and I'm about to prove it to you real quick. There's a book. I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with this book, but there's a book that I really suggest to everyone. I feel like it's really good reading. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Yeah. And the author, his name is Stephen Covey. Quote from the book, he says, "We tend to believe that we see reality as it is.
Right.
But the truth is, we see reality how we are." Mm-hmm. Right? So this is an exercise real quick. I just want to, you know, at this point, I'm going to ask that y'all unmute y'all mics, right? Because I want to get your idea of this lady in this picture. How old or how young do you think this lady is?
Okay.
Yeah, how old is she?
Maybe in her 20s.
20s? What about you, Quinn?
I will go ahead and say that I've seen this before. So
all right. Alright, well, yeah, don't give it away.
Okay.
You just said
it. Okay, so I'm going to just go out of that one.
Alright, bet. So, brother, you see the young lady. So, because you see the young lady, right, that's her left eye, that's what you see, right?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then that will be her left ear. Her head is turned to the right, right?
Right.
And that's her jawline, right? That's what you see.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yes, okay. Sir.
But some people see the older lady in the picture, brother, right? So, I need you to put away your biases real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So here go the old lady. Those are her lips, and her head is down. She got her head down. Those are her lips right there. Those are her eyes right there. And then that's her nose, and her head, is there. Her chin is against her chest. Can you see the old lady, brother?
I'm struggling to see it, bro.
Okay. So if one more time to try to let me take these. All right. So the older lady, one more time. Her chin is laying against her chest. She looks sad. Right? And what you thought was her ear and her eye, well, yeah, one of them, the one on the right, that is her eye. But then what you thought her ear was, that's her left eye. The old lady yet?
I still don't see the old lady.
It's all good, man. Like I said, it's an exercise, right?
Right.
But that's a matter of perception.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many colors do you see? What about you, Queen? How many colors do you see?
If I had to say real quick, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 colors.
4 or 5. All right. What about you, good brother?
I see 1, 2, 3, 4. I see 4 colors.
4 colors. There are 1 million colors represented in this picture right here.
Mm.
Okay.
That's data.
Mm.
You see? So at this point, let me get back to my. So at that point, I'm going to stop sharing the screen, right? But I'm still sharing. All right, there I go. I'm going to stop sharing the screen, but you can clearly see, right? That's an exercise, right? You can only see the young lady, right? Where other people are going to argue you up and down. You don't see that old lady that got a nose right there. She got a big nose.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's a matter of perception. Whereas you said 5 or 6 colors. Mm-hmm. The sister said the brother said he's seen 4 colors. Mm-hmm. Right? It's 1 million colors in front of you. And the only way you would have been able to see that, right, is if you had the data like me. So, the reason why this topic is so important is because as we get older in life sometimes and we mature, we feel like we've learned everything that we needed to learn, and, you know, we mature now. We got the thing called life figured out, and, you know, I know who I am. And look. My contention with that type of thinking is, we can't really translate it to our young people to be lifelong learners if we going to be intellectually lazy.
Mm.
We can't really, you know, be humble enough to be in an economy where it might be a trend that we can take advantage of, or could create a trend that we could take advantage of. But because we was burnt one time, you know what I'm saying? Because the brother sold me a sock of coal, I ain't taking no more chances of this. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a matter of perception, and it's simply not wise, you know? So, you know, in the words of a very famous general, he say, this is General Ulysses S. Grant. He says, before they go into battle, I can't remember what. Oh, it was the Battle of Antietam. He says, man, I'm going to be be flexible in all things. Let's be flexible in all things. So what he was saying was, we might have a plan, right? But the plan might change once we hit the battlefield. So let's be flexible in all things. We attack them from the air. We attack them from the sea. We got our horsemen. We got long range. We got short range. You know what I mean? Let's be flexible. And I would say that we definitely, as a people, need to take that strategy and apply it to all areas of our life so that we can become learners, so that we can become more powerful, so that we can become what we, you know, the best versions of ourselves, you know. I'm hoping I'm not, you know, sounding like I'm just spitting out platitudes and things of that nature. I honestly believe that, you know what I'm saying? And I got real-life examples, you know, I work with these young people. And they inspire me to continue to do the work that I do. And, you know, because I got all of these real-life examples, I mean, of course, I can't share. I mean, everybody can't share my enthusiasm about, you know, working with young people, you know, because, I mean, you know, being honest, I mean, some of them are just some real-deal assholes to deal with, you know what I'm saying? Pardon the language. But, you know, we can't expect for them to know what we ain't taught them.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
You know, a thug, he just a wise man that's lost.
Come on.
Yeah, bro. You know, that's how I look at it, man.
That's right.
And I can see a lot of you with this, you know. Something that I just went through this evening.